The next thing I wanted to do is address the registrar situation. I want to read the letter from Sue dated April 25th to the Board of Directors and the American Milk and Devon Cattle Association. This is to inform you of my resignation from the Board of Directors as well as the position of registrar effective immediately. I will return all the materials and property of the association that's currently in my possession to a member of the board no later than May 10th. Sincerely, Susan Randall. I was shocked and saddened to receive that letter, and I think a lot of the directors were. Sue's done a lot of work for this association over the years for zero money, 25 years to be exact. So the directors authorized an expense to commemorate her. And this is what we've done, and I was hoping she'd come today and I was going to present it to her, but we will get it to her. We bought this plaque with a clock on it and had it inscribed, American Milking Devon Cattle Association presents with thanks and appreciation for 25 years of dedicated service as Registrar and Director, Susan B. Randall, May 10th, 2014. And there's a little cow and a calf in the bottom corner. So I'll leave that out. You can take a look at it, and we will get that to Sue, recognizing her years of service to the organization. Having said that, we need to have discussion as to where we go from here. The board wants input as to what we do. Sue carried a lot of weight, wore a lot of hats. And what I want to get feedback on is my feeling, my personal feeling, is we should separate some of the duties she had. The board can appoint someone to sit in her seat as director for the term of her term until the election for her comes up. We will do that going forward, but she was also in charge of membership, which I think should be a separate duty. She was the registrar, which I think should be a separate duty. She did the herd book and just completed the updated herd book that Lawrence has discs on disc now. I think that should be a separate duty, updating the herd book going forward. That's my personal feeling, but we want feedback from everybody here. So where do we go from here with that? I'm going to open it up to your thoughts.
I completely agree as far as breaking up the membership and the registration. I don't know what's involved in it, but it seems like if you're handling the registration, how much more is it to updating the herd book?
Yeah, I agree.
Separating that part of it.
I guess it depends on the software.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, just for today, if you have your dues, I'm putting them in this collecting.
AMDCA. Always AMDCA. When we get payments in and Sue collects registrations and transfers, some of them are still made out to Susan Randall. That's a nightmare when I go to the bank to deposit.
Can't do that.
Because she sends them to me unendorsed. And I endorse it, I have a stamp, AMDCA, with the account number. Well, that doesn't match Susan Randall, so I've taken the liberty of writing on there AMDCA after Susan's name, so the bank will take them. Otherwise, you've got to mail them back to the person with a letter of explanation and wait for them to come back. It's just a nightmare. So all the checks should be AMDCA.
Suggestion about the membership to encourage more, you know, more people to be members, you know, even if they're not really registering cattle. Have you considered at all doing an online registration with PayPal? Not as the only option, but as an additional option?
We haven't considered any of that because it's always just been handled. That's the way it always was. Yeah. You know, the dues notice goes out and the checks come in, and that's, you know. So if someone takes on membership, it could include promoting membership besides just collecting the dues. Yes.
No. I think most of us receive mailings all of the time, reminding you that you haven't renewed your AARP membership or you haven't renewed this or that. And my experience of handling for sale ads on the web is that I have to ask, is your membership up to date? And lots of times I had to send an email to Sue to get confirmation. And a lot of people just had no idea whether they had updated their membership or not. And if we had a membership secretary, they could get a reminder if they hadn't renewed within a month or two after the due date. The other thing that's related to that is there's confusion because we are in violation of the bylaws of the association, making membership from May to May, whereas in fact the bylaws say it must be the same as the fiscal year, which is January to December. So, I think also for, you know, there was always a delay. I've seen checks outstanding for 6 months.
Bank will not take them now more than six months old. They call them a stale check and they give them back to me. So
but,
I've tried to speed that up.
Sue was collecting, that's understandable. Sue was collecting the checks and then they were being sent to you.
But I deposit them within 2 days when I get them.
I know, but they were being held until she had a bunch.
Had a pile of them, yeah.
So I think the idea of using PayPal or one of the payment services for nonprofits, charitable organizations, the directors really should investigate that possibility. Then you'd get an email saying that Lawrence had
put
his dues in or had paid for semen or a registration. The money would go right straight away. And then I would get a receipt from PayPal or whoever, and then I just forward the receipt to the registrar, and the registrar says, oh, here's the evidence that he paid for the registration.
Yep, and then issue it.
Yep.
How would it be if we issued, we've never done this before, but if we issued dues cards, would this help people if they looked at their dues card and said, hey, we haven't done this in 2 years, we better do it? Most organizations have dues cards, and we've never done it, and they just throw that out. It's something, but it's something somebody else has got to do.
I think your PayPal receipt does that. You're also, you know, if we're going to be doing the newsletter, we can do quarterly reminders, you know, getting stronger as it gets closer to, you know, whenever the period, which I have been very unclear of when the dues were due. Is it a new person coming in? Completely baffled, had no idea when my dues were due. So,
remember, I don't know why the bylaws have that different date, but it's kind of unhandy for some of us. I can't miss my new date. I don't think it's the annual meeting.
Yeah.
If that date could be looked at, it'd be kind of nice.
Sure.
I don't know whether or not it'd be appropriate to have a membership list on the website as a sub-file, so one could check if I'm a member, or just go to the website and see if I'm current.
Some people choose not to be listed on the website.
Exposure.
Yeah. That's how some people have found out their dues weren't paid, is when Lawrence dropped them off the breeder's list.
And they
call up and say, why aren't I on the breeder's list? Well, send your 20 bucks.
You need to email them all and say, please, you're on a member again.
Right.
I put in the calendar dates.
Right.
So I put in the extra work because I get negligent.
Yeah, so if someone takes on membership, all that could be considered by, you know, the association being done under that.
Oh, that's good, yeah, because they could send emails out or, you know, letters out.
It could also go with a newsletter.
Yeah.
I know a few years ago we were getting people who were paying 2 and 3 years ahead because they were confused, and so we finally put in the newsletter, dues are due except for these people, and you might have seen in there we had 10 or 12 people listed who had paid up 2 or 3 years ahead. Don't send us any more checks.
Some associations actually have, like the American Poultry Association has a 5-year option.
Oh, or lifetime, sure. Some have lifetime.
You know, and I would, you know, I did that just so I wouldn't forget.
It's easier. It's all stuff
lifetime
we could consider,
might be a nice option to add. Does this association have that?
No.
That?
No, things like
nice.
The LRA have a lifetime.
Right.
You send them $500 and you're a life member. You never have to renew again, you know.
How nice would that be?
Not one.
Yeah, we have one lifetime member. We do.
That's right. We made him a lifetime member.
That's right.
That's right. Lawrence.
And it didn't cost him $500.
This relates to the discussion, but it's off topic. Why don't we make Sue a lifetime honorary member?
The directors have broached that subject and we'll take up at a future meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to get through this meeting first.
Sure.
That's the membership piece. About the registration herd book piece, any thoughts on that? To me, that's the most critical component. We are a registry association. You know, someone needs to do that that's somewhat familiar with the cattle, with the breed, with the breeders.
Lawrence, I think you've looked into some software, registration management software.
You want to talk about the
I want to talk about all these aspects, yeah. The herd book too, yeah.
Okay, there's several things to be said about the herd book. First of all, if you want to see a hard copy of the data, not Ray, hold, hang on it. Go and see Ray. Ray's got all of the pages. I printed them out the last couple of days because Sue sent me to the thing. But I, in there, I've only printed out what's come since January 1st, 2006. The document that Sue prepared begins back with registration number one. And that file runs, the cows alone are 350 pages at least. The file is 20 megabytes big, which is huge. And then the bulls are another 40, 50 pages, something like that. So my recommendation about the herd book is that we issue a new volume but not repeat everything that happened before. Okay, that's my first recommendation, we do that. In terms of how we make it available, I think it needs to be made available as the present herd book is, the existing herd book, on the website as a PDF that people can download, put it on their own computer, search, and so on. Then the third possibility, which Bill has just referred to, is that we have a searchable database online. And that can be done quite easily. So that if you wanted a list of the ancestors of a cow or a bull, you could go to the website, to a particular page, put the name in. You want five generations, click the five generation thing, and up pops all the ancestors of the particular caliber bull that you want. We've got, I believe, from what Sue told me, that we have enough capacity to do that. That's not a problem. The software is available. I have already put all of the 2005 herd book animals into such a database. Shelley's been working on corrections for that. And we could, the software, well, let's see. The software to put it online is free. There's no cost involved in that. The BreedMate software, which is what I'm using and recommending, super, super powerful stuff. You can buy it for $80.
How much?
$80. And put it on your computer, and then you can do anything you want, and you can keep all kinds of records in addition to the names of the cattle and their the dam and sire and the date of birth and that sort of thing. So the people who really want to mess around with, well, no, that's the wrong word, who really want to experiment and explore relationships between cows can do that on their own computers. Otherwise, you do it online. And I brought along for people to look at what has been done in the past. I brought along Volume 3 of the American Devon Record, which goes back to the late 1800s, and I think Shelley has
Volume
10 here.
Is the Black Book, that's from 1947.
Yeah. And on a historical note, if anybody runs across Volume 9, that's the one that's missing. Mm-hmm. There is. So far, both of us have been looking, and several other people have been looking for Volume 9, just for the history and the documentation.
Okay.
Most of these things are now available on Google or on some of the other online sources. Then the other thing I think we need to do, this is a paperback which I produced, of the herd book up to the end of 2005. Have a look at it while you're here. And see what you think. I think that we, that cost, would it cost $10, $15? $10, $15, something like that, to produce a lovely paperback book. Lulu does it online, does it on demand.
Who is it? Hulu?
Lulu.
Lulu.
Yeah, Lulu.
Maybe we will do that book.
Yeah.
Lulu can do the book too. And I mean, I just did it for myself. I gave one to Ray.
I have one.
You have one. Sue has one.
I prefer that compared to PDF.
Much better.
I'd pay for that. Yeah.
Much better than that. And I mean, if the association wants to make a couple bucks,
you can
decide. Let me just pass that around. People can have a look at it. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Do you think that would be done annually then, Lawrence? Do you think there probably wouldn't be enough content to make a book annually, though? It would be like a very little book, I would assume.
Yeah. Well, what they did, what was it called? The old association put out an annual report that included all of the registrations in the year as a part of it. And that, then after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, then they produced a herd book. And if you got the type all set, ready for the one animal, that's fine. It's easy to put together to make a bigger book. The other thing with regard to the records that I would recommend very strongly is, as in this book, the transfers, instead of being registered along with the cattle, there's an appendix.
For transfers.
For transfers. Mm-hmm. So it'll just make the whole process easy. Much easier to have a section of transfers.
Let me ask you, Lawrence, are you interested in taking on the herd book project?
I'd do it to get started, certainly. I mean, I'm doing all the editing now. I'm a herd book editor by default.
Yeah. That'd be willing to help.
Yeah.
Okay. Is anyone interested in the membership part?
What's it involve?
Keeping track of the members. I mean, dues notices, what we discussed earlier, maybe doing dues through an electronic method like PayPal, and promoting membership. It could be the third component of that, where you try to get new members. I mean, most organizations have a membership drive or drive unit, you know, that recruit new members.
I will do just about anything that you need me to do, so how's that?
Maybe it's Stephanie could do the membership thing. Stephanie down in North Carolina, Braxton?
Yeah, I don't know her personally. That would be a possibility, I guess, anybody? I know Kendi, but I don't know Stephanie. Oh, I haven't met Stephanie.
What's her last name?
Caraxis.
K-I-R-A-T-Z-I-S.
She thinks Devin's the best thing since sliced bread.
Where is she from? I'm sorry.
North Carolina.
I read the Shadi. Mm. Oh, she loves it.
She's a member, I believe, but I don't know if I'm familiar enough with computers to be able to do that, but the membership anyway. The drive, basically, I think, would go through the newsletter. Would be what was driving people to be new members.
I guess that would be true. Yeah, it would kind of go with the,
the real job is the administration of the list and a group of who's paid and who's not.
Right.
And
there's
a lot of
messy detail, which is no fun at all.
And then the job needs to involve also telling the webmaster who to put onto the website, mm-hmm. and telling the and providing an updated list to the directors, mm-hmm. Monthly or quarterly at least.
The register would need to be included in that too, right? To know who to accept registrations from and who's going to be updated before they're
Yeah, I'd be willing to. I'd be willing to. whatever you usually do.
I would put my hat into to that too, for wherever, if there's a place, since I'm involved anyway, right?
Well, it'd be easy for you to, I guess, to give the checks to John.
I think it would be timely.
Say postage.
Yeah.
So we both of us.
Yeah.
Save 10 cents.
Exactly.
So, so I don't know, who wants to head that up, membership? I mean, someone will have to take that and head that up.
Is Bonnie volunteering?
I don't know. I'm keeping
well,
my...
Well, let's just throw this out there. We need to look at a registrar, someone who's computer literate and will generate registrations and transfers. And Bonnie has expressed an interest in that. And, of course, you know, I don't know if anyone else is dying for the job. And I want no bad perception that the registrar is married to the president. I mean, I don't want to have that.
No, I would take my name out if that's what
at
anybody
all,
thought.
Because,
I think you ought to stay married.
Who said that? I like that. Thank you, Bill. I agree.
But she's, you know, so I wouldn't want to saddle two things onto her at once.
Well, I'll volunteer for the membership then.
I think that goes great with a newsletter.
Lawrence and I correspond. We know our email addresses back and forth, and Bonnie and I are.
I've gotten newsletters before that said, if you have a green sticker on your newsletter, your dues are due.
Yeah, that would work.
So you could, you know, if you have the information, you can easily just do something.
That's
like
a good
that.
Point.
Yeah.
My niece is not.
Sure. Well, that makes sense to me to have her do it. She's willing to do it, and
it's
done, and it goes with the newsletter, and it's right. Every 3 months or whatever, 4 months. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think as much as you know, I mean, it is, you know, for timeliness of you know, the depositing of the funds in that, you know, I think that I personally like the idea of there, you know, being something that's done, you know, online. But
sure.
You know,
but some people aren't going to do that. I mean, there's some people who don't go online at all.
Oh, no, I understand.
You
know? Yeah, I know.
So you're going to get checks.
I know. I was trying to explain FaceTime and Skype to Ray.
But you
so I asked him, I said, did you, have you ever seen Star Trek?
Nope. All Star Trek.
So you will still get checks, you'll still get cash, and they're
going
to be forwarded on.
I think that's probably the only downfall is you know, is just the, you know, the mailing the checks, you know, right. Back and forth. But, you know, I think if there's some sort of an online thing that's an option, at least it would minimize, you know, the quantity of checks that are coming back.
Right. Okay, registrations then. Let's discuss that for a while. I know Bonnie has expressed interest in that. Is anyone else, you know, dying for that job or familiar with that?
I don't think I like that word, dying for that job.
Bonnie wants it. I
say,
you
know.
Dying to take it on.
I don't like that expression.
I'm willing to help you with that, too, if there's anything that you need on the software or, you know, anything.
Well, Sue has a software program. Hopefully, it's in the stuff that she sent along with Bruce today. So,
is anything labeled? Or any of the
boxes
labeled?
It's labeled as notebooks are all organized as volumes of material.
Now what Sue has sent over, she told me, are 35 3-ring binders full of the original registrations from number one on. Each book contains 100 original registration certificates. All historical documentation that needs to be stored somewhere. And it shouldn't be stored in the under the same roof as the registration computer, because that's your backup.
Right. Technically, it should be stored in a fireproof vault somewhere.
Exactly.
Right. I don't know if anyone has any ideas on that. I've given it some thought. I have... my business is located two towns away from my residence, and I do have fireproof safes at my business. I certainly could add another one to store that, unless someone else wants to hold on to the historical documentation.
Sounds like a good idea.
I mean, I don't know what else we could do with it right away.
There's one I had. I glanced at it last night at home, and one could spend a wonderful week or two just going through the little book.
I'm sure they could, yeah.
Get a flavor within it, you know, change, have it in a hay barn somewhere.
Oh, yeah, it can't be, it can't be in, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's places we could store, we could pay for storage, I mean, you can do all that sort of stuff, too. So, what I'm opening up for discussion, what you want to do with this stuff. I mean, there's 15 boxes, 35 three-ring binders of just that, and then there's the computer, discs, the programs for the registry, and whatever else, you know, I haven't seen what's in the boxes, so.
Did I hear you volunteer to store for a year until the dust settles?
I will do that, if that's what the...
If you have a place available that is secure.
Yeah.
Make it available to you also, take a look at.
Yeah, I will do that if that's what you want to do. I mean, no cost.
I think it's a good idea to have it closed. If Bonnie's going to do the registration, she needs to actually consult, for some way to go back and consult the original document, then she's got them handy somewhere where she can go look at them.
I think you've got the bases covered with it being a fire, you know, fireproof safe in a separate location, because I was going to suggest, you know, like a safety deposit box, but you have to pay a premium for that, especially one that large, so.
35 three-ring binders.
I think that really.
And if you've run out of space, ask the directors to authorize the purchase of another safe.
If we need a safe to put this in, these are very valuable records for the association, for now and the future, that if we needed a safe, that maybe we should buy one to put it in.
Yeah. I don't know where Sue is keeping them, and obviously she's keeping them at the same place as the computer and the disk, and, you know, I wasn't even aware there was that much historical stuff that she had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Have you given any thought into the off-site data storage too, for the, you know, in case something would happen, computer crash or whatever?
That's it.
You know, there's so many different, you know, different places, and it, you can, you know, do that, you know, sometimes through your, you know, your ISP or, you know, something.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't given that any thought because that hasn't been our duties.
Right.
You know, I do that with my work. We back up on disk. It goes in a fireproof safe. It's weekly, you know, that sort of thing. We don't do the cloud. I mean, we're not that technologically advanced.
I think that might be one benefit to having an online database, too. That would be hosted someplace.
Yeah, and that's going to be fairly current so that everything is retrievable there.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not going to be this six-year lag anymore, hopefully, you know.
Well, did she have it on a separate computer, separate from her home computer or something?
I don't know.
Or
I don't think so. I don't know.
Well,
because you don't want to get viruses or anything, right? I mean, you want to. That's what I would think. It would be a separate.
I would think so too.
Not with our personal stuff.
I would think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the registration component? This whole aspect of what Sue was doing and how we're dividing up.
Has she been keeping backup paper for every transaction?
Registrations, yes.
Yes.
I don't know about transfers, but registrations. They're all in those 35 three-ring binders, John. Every original registration is in there.
Okay.
She said she started when she got the things that were four or five binders, and now there's 35. In the 25 years she's had it, so. She's added roughly 100 per year on average.
Can I ask you, I mean, this is as a new person coming in, and I'm not trying to be critical or anything, but can I understand why it says secretary down at the bottom of the registration papers and a seal is on there, but Sue is a registrar, not the secretary?
She was the secretary.
She was the secretary.
Oh, she was the secretary?
At one time.
But I thought you're the secretary now, though.
At one time, Sue was the registrar, the secretary. She presided over the annual meeting. There was nobody else except three directors who met after the annual meeting.
Right.
She was here to bottle wash.
Right, but should that be changed to registrar?
It could be.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It could be.
Particularly now that you're separating the duties.
Yeah.
I would like to recommend that the registrar position be a paid position.
Okay. You want to expound on that?
Well, I think that the duties are, you know, large enough and something that we find time sensitive. to make it a paid position.
People can't hear you.
I would like to recommend that the registered position be a paid position within the association.
Well, it's being split up now from two sections.
Right.
Should we do one?
It's a tremendous amount of paperwork, I mean, it's a serious amount of paperwork. And in order for it to get done in a timely fashion and so on and so forth, like, you know, some issues have arisen in the past, you know, there hasn't been any accountability in the past as far as when you sent a registration in as to when you got it back. You know, so I think that job should be a paid position so that the association can hold whoever is responsible in that position to some sort of conditions. Not to say that Bonnie's not going to get the job done here. I'm just saying that in the past...
I'd get divorced, right?
In the last 4 or 5 years, this has become a bigger issue.
It has, and we had to address it 2 years ago. The board made a policy that registrations would be completed, turned around in 3 months from the time they were received by the registrar, and that's even been pushed a little bit, so...
Jeremy, are you thinking a stipend position or an hourly rate?
No, I would think it would just be an annual rate just for this. Just a service.
I was like a stipend position, but I don't know if we'd set a rate. But again, we're looking for a job to be done that in a timely fashion. And
I mean,
there's a lot of hours going on.
How about so much an application?
Yeah, just take a piece of each.
I think that's a good idea to just take a piece of each registration for the register. That way the pay is commensurate with how big the job is. You know what I mean?
Sue said she's already done 200 in the first 4 months.
Yeah.
Which is usually what we do in a year, on a good year.
That's what I mean. If the job expands exponentially next year, the pay is going to expand with it. And instead of still being, you know, some meager.
Other thoughts?
If that's a very small amount of money, though, because registration's only $5, right?
Right.
So if you take a piece of that, that doesn't add up to much money.
That may have to change. It may have to raise the registration fee.
valuable enough job for us. It is what we need to have done, that it's worth compensation to get it done. And there's enough money there to do that.
Well, I guess one thing that could be explored too would be the registrations that are done earlier in the earlier age of the cap versus
It's $5 for less than a year old and 10 for over a year.
Well, it needs to be significantly more for over.
That would cut them down.
Over 10, that people would get them in promptly, and you're not. I don't know that you would have to do. You know, my understanding is that there was some research done, Ray.
What's that?
That there was research done on each one, and if it's, you know, I don't know if it would make it any easier if they're registered early versus if you have like five calves being registered to one cow all at the same time, you know, kind of thing. I don't know if there's any benefit to encouragement or not for early registration, like under 1 year of age.
Before they're born?
Not that early.
Five calves to a cow.
No, not that early, but I guess, you know, to me it's like $10.
I've got trouble hearing, so I
to me, the difference between $10 and $5 with the cost of a meal at McDonald's or anywhere today, you know, that I don't know that $5 is that much encouragement. If you're trying to encourage people to register them, you know, more promptly, you know, so that everything kind of commensurates as things go along, that if the fee for a later registration, if it's over a year, would be more, that may still give people the option, if they want to have a lower cost registration, to do it earlier, but the ones that want to wait and do it at a later date are going to pay, you know, a heavier.
I agree with that. That's good.
You know, we still have some people that don't register until they're so young.
Right.
Right.
But this would give somebody that wants to be, you know, a lower rate, you know, that you know, that if they do it earlier in their life, that's just a thought.
I don't know. I don't have any record, I know John does, on how many older registrations we do.
Yeah, I don't have it with me, but we do a significant number of $10 registrations on the checklist that I get from Sue, okay. Yeah. I'd say maybe, this is just a guess, because I don't have the sheets with me, 25 to 30% maybe are $10 registrations over a year old.
But if you crank that, if, you know, like if you're talking about, you know, potentially increasing the registration fee, that if you do it on the older ones, that's still, you know, at least a transition, that would give people still the option that you know, if they want to save the money, they got to get it in early.
Right. And make it worth the, they'll look at money talks, so if they're going to pay whatever it is, $25 versus 5 or 10, they're going to try and get it done.
So you're not going to get a whole herd registry at one time.
Right.
I think maybe this is how we should approach that. I think rather than just do something now and increase the fees, because I can feel some people shuddering already, that we put that out there maybe in a newsletter that the board of directors is contemplating raising fees for registrations over a year.
Okay.
To encourage people to register calves within a year and give the board some time to contemplate that and give the breeders time to catch up, that might be a way to approach it. In other words, give them a year or something, you know, to catch up.
Well, you figure out what you want.
You don't know how these old New Englanders have had these cattle. I've seen arguments all day long over 50 cents on an animal.
Oh, yeah.
All day long. Bill.
I think before we increase any fees for registering, we got to take into account that the year goes by pretty fast on a farm.
Yeah.
And not everybody gets all the paperwork.
That's what I'm saying. We need to put notice of this out that we're thinking about this at least a year in advance.
Right. And I don't think there ought to be a really steep difference between the two.
I tend to agree with them, too. I kind of do mine once a year.
And Bruce. Another thing that's changing this around without Sue and breaking the jobs up and getting them done faster, it might be taken care of anyway. So you're not going to worry, well, I'm going to send it in, not going to get it for 3 months.
Right.
You've got to send it in, you're going to get it back.
You may see a change in attitude because of the trend.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's try that. And you said we can consider it, and if it works.
You tell me what you want to put in the newsletter. Yeah.
Well, the board can have that discussion at a future meeting here soon, and then we'll have something for the newsletter article maybe that we're potentially thinking of this or that and put that out there. Any other thoughts on the registration membership?
Well, back to the register being a paid position.
Yeah.
You know, is there a dollar? I like the idea of having it paid by the registration. Is there a dollar figure that somebody would put to that, and is the association going to eat that out of the current price, or, you know?
How much work is involved in processing registration? It kind of depends on that.
Quite a lot.
No. A lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think what Sue's been doing, you receive the application. The first thing you want to do, verify that the person is a member and paid dues. Second, you want to verify that the lineage are registered and that's accurate. You know, there's things that have to be verified. It takes some time just to go through that before you print out the registration and turn it around in the mail.
Yeah. Why is there anything to, if you're taking the papers that you fill out, I don't understand why there's anything to verify.
People don't always fill them out right.
To make sure that the same cow doesn't give birth to
six calves in a year.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot, yeah.
Cow that died 4 years ago?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
The bull
access table. Bull that we sold 10 years ago?
Like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think that way.
Some people do, so it needs to be verified.
Well,
a good registrar is going to check all that stuff, you know.
Yeah. And you get more money for a registered animal versus just a... There's, unfortunately,
The neighbor's bull jumped over the fence and bred the cow. I sold my bull 2 years ago, so I've got his number, so I write it down, or I butchered him, whatever, so I can get more money for that. For that calf that got sired by the neighbor's bull, whatever color he was. As long as he looks like a dove.
Gotta be somewhere to shoot them.
Anyway, back to the discussion at hand about the financial piece.
If you're getting $5 for registration, and I don't know if a dollar of that is insulting or $2 of that, it doesn't take very much of it to be, you know, a pretty big percentage of the current $5.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I think it depends on the software and how easily you can do that research. You know, if you know, I know that with BreedMate, you know, some of that stuff is pretty easy, even going by the PDF files, you know, the searching the names or the numbers or whatever, that it wouldn't take too long. But I would think that you're probably going to be at the very, very least 15 minutes to a registration.
I would say at least.
The very least.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a tough one, because let's say it is 15 minutes. Are you going to work 15 minutes for a dollar? I mean, the $5 isn't really enough to pull it out of.
That's
so we're talking about what percentage of $5 and $5 is enough.
Well, just to throw out something real quick. I mean, I'm just looking at the Treasurer's report here. We're showing like 50% margin in the last 2 years. I mean, what's the difficulty with making the position a $500 a year salary position or a $1,000 a year salary position? And just keeping it simple so that it's one payment, fixed expense of the association. I mean, we're making it kind of complicated, I think, if we start splitting hairs over how many registrations.
You're going to spend more time accounting for how many registrations and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I would just keep it simple.
You know, and if the registrar is unhappy with it, it'll come to the board and say, hey, we need more money.
You just make it a fixed expense and call it even.
And call it an honorarium. So it isn't so embarrassing. Is make it an honorarium. A thank you.
I mean, other thoughts?
You want a motion on that?
Yeah, I think a motion would be in order if we're through with discussion.
Right. I'll make the motion for $1,000.
Second.
Other discussion.
Yeah. I'm not a tax expert. I do know that in our town, which is a very small town, committee chairs and various other volunteers get an annual stipend, and the town has to withhold tax and Social Security on that very small number.
And workman's comp.
That's true.
And I don't know whether we can set this down or not, but it's something to check.
And not to abuse your voice at the moment, but we got a lot of ground shifting with Sue not being with us. And if Bonnie's willing to do this for the coming year as it stands, and the board of directors have a sense of the intent of the group, I'd be more comfortable. I'm not in favor of the concept 100%. Come back and dust us a little bit and have a sense of how much work's involved. Do we need a W-9? A lot of mechanics in here that maybe just under the surface that we'd rather not move on today. I'd rather have the board take a stronger look at.
Yeah, I can check with my accountant as to what the tax implications are for the association, you know, what we have to do if we compensate somebody and what's the best way to go about that, whether they be an employee with it or if they can be a subcontractor or how are we going about approaching that.
I would think you're not telling them, you know, when, well, I guess, are you telling them when to do it? You know, I mean, that's one of the key things. Are you telling them, you know, when to do the job?
Right.
Yeah, versus, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's how much direct supervision they have.
Right. Those are all specified as an employee.
Right. But that would be questionable.
An accountant would be able to answer those questions.
Right.
I think Bruce's point is excellent. It's good to have this discussion, but the devil's in the detail. And I think we have to go off and look at a lot of details before we really nail this down.
And wait on the compensation with the understanding that we would do something at some point.
The whole picture in place.
So you want to amend your motion?
I'll remove my motion. So you can become a slave.
Withdraw the second?
I withdraw the second.
So the motion's off the floor. So then the understanding is the board of directors will investigate this further, see what tax implications there are, and how this would work. how much work is involved. Right. Have Bonnie track the time she spends on it, and then the board can address it.
I mean, I don't even know what she has for software. I have no idea about it.
Like I said, I'm willing to help. You know, I mean, even if you could separate, you know, I mean, whether you could separate that duty even more to, you know, one person researching the other person actually issuing the registration. You know,
I think the big part is doing the research, and that would be, you know, once you have that and it's verified, then it's just a matter of printing the app, the registration papers out.
One thing about it, you can't hire slaves. So.
Anything else on this registrar part? If not, let's move on then. At this point, I've asked, Bruce Farr has been receiving the ballots, and I've asked Bill Gallagher to count, verify with him, because it says in the bylaws a director has to be involved in that. So if you two gentlemen could,
more ballots in the room, then not this
if you could retire for a couple of minutes and give us a report.
Yes.
Just a step backwards. It was brought up about the membership due dates.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that it's at, with the fiscal resources?
Well,
because it is very convenient to pay them here at the meeting.
A little history on that. The fiscal used to be till the annual meeting. And when I took over the books, it was a little difficult to do everything the night before the meeting and close out the books and give a report the next day. So I changed the fiscal year to the calendar year. So we had one year that was short. It was only from May till January 1st. And we've been running year to year ever since. So we had to change the dues to comply with that. But I think that's simply a matter of the board of directors voting to do that. Send the news notices out so they're due and payable January 1st instead of by May 10th or whatever it is. And then we'll be in compliance with the bylaw.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's just a simple change of when we send the dues notices out and collect the dues and account for them.
But basically, they all expire on December 31st.
Correct.
The only time it matters to anybody is when they want to vote. And that's why the 10th will be late to the end.
Yeah. Well, you see, this organization started, it was just a couple of people, and it's growing, and these are things that need to be addressed as we grow, you know. That's all. Yeah. I mean, the accounting was done at the annual meeting, and it was, when I took over the ballots, we had $400. This association had $400 in like 2005.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now we've got, you know, $27,000.